Praise the Lord. You know, it's so interesting and so good. And thank you for your eloquent speech, Brad. I really just enjoyed that. When we really have the meaning of our gathering together, that is not only but to bring glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to worship God in spirit and in truth, you can see that really David was so inspired. He says, look how good and wonderful it is to see the brethren in harmony, worshiping together. That has to be the main purpose of our gathering here. It's not to see other but a member of the body of Christ that joined with us, and we can support this other member as that member can support us. Because when I'm strong, you might be weak, but where you're strong, then I'm weak. It happens that we need one another. Is that right? You know, it's sad that today, well, we have accustomed ourselves to the modern technology. There's a lot of people that are shut in, that they cannot go to a church. There's people that prefer the TV church, you know. And you know how you're going to exercise the love to love one another, as Jesus Christ said, unless you have somebody sitting by your side. And to love that one that we don't like that much. Isn't that good? You know, because Christ, that's what he commanded. And as we're approaching the time of the celebration of Christmas, it happens that I'm going to encourage you to invite people to come and see the play, because you're going to be blessed. You know, this is something that really we have to give the significance of what it has. And today the title of the message is Christmas in Hebrews. And that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews and then to the book of John. And then we're going to go back to Hebrews because, you know, we like the whole counsel of the Word of God. You know, the interesting thing is that there's one thing that we need to understand. Jesus is the one and only begotten Son of God. Amen. And what happens is he's the only way to heaven. He says in John 14, he says, 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because I'm going to try to read, but if not, then Richard is going to be okay, Richard. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Richard, please. Amen. Interesting. You know, I don't know, but there's many people that they think, especially in Judaism, you may be seated, and then I'll ask you for the other scripture. one of the things that happens in Judaism is that even though the expectancy of the Jews was to see the Messiah, and you can see it even in the conversation that Christ has with the woman in the well, the Samaritan woman, it happens that the most important thing is that Christmas, it has to be a time when the Father's heart was in it, but it was hurting because he's introducing his firstborn into the world. See, it was even before time of creation that already Christ had become the Lamb of God, even before the foundation of the world. You know, God has to do the creation, and he didn't stop. Do we believe that God knows everything? Do we believe that God is perfect in all his ways? You know that I have preached in other times, God has never say oops. You know, he don't make a mistake, you know. Because the things that he set in motion is for really letting us understand that his love is so great that he even has given us the freedom of choice. Is that right? Now he wants us to make the right choices. Is that correct? But do we do the right choices all the time? I don't think so. You know. And one of the things that happens is that in the book of Hebrews it says, and when he again, read it again, Richard, please. Amen. It sounds pretty cool. Is that right? God is making the perfect thing. He's bringing his firstborn into this world. But then God gives a command. And he says, and all the God's angels must. No, it didn't say, I'm not going to ask your opinion. I said, they must. Must is something that it ought to be done. Is that right? Worship him. Is that right? But what happens is that there was a rebellion. There was a rebellion. Do you know that a third of the angels in heaven decided and made the wrong choice of not worshiping the Son? And that's exactly what happens today. What happens today is not only the angels have the choice to do or not to do, but we humans that are created at the image and likeness of God had also the power of making choices. God doesn't force you because God is a gentleman. And God wants us that by our choice, we want to worship him. This morning, there's many people that they're not going to be in a worship house. They're not going to be reunited to give the glory to the God that deserves all the glory. He's the creator after all. You know, isn't that good that when Adam and Eve fail and sin, God didn't go in and destroy them right then and there? Did he have the right to do it? Yes. But God is perfect. And when he make his creation, he make it out of love. So what he did is already before the creation, knowing all things because God is omniscient, what he did, he made a plan of redemption. And that's when he introduced his Son into this world. You know what happens? You know, if you go to Ezekiel in the chapter 37, 38, I don't remember, but you can just verify that. Don't take my word for it. Go yourself and find out like the Berean church did, you know. And it happens that Satan looked at himself. I mean, can you imagine this creature, this angel, Lucifer? He was made with instruments built on his body. He was not even made like that. He was made of gems. So when the light of God comes through, can you imagine the spectacle? No disco ball ever has made those colors. So he saw himself and he take pride. Because when God introduced his Son, in other words, when God introduced the form that he wanted to take, and you can go to the book of Hebrews because it's a very interesting book. What happens is that when he saw that man was created a very little lower than the angels. But who is this man but Christ the Lord? Because he decided to take the form of the creation that he had made. What it says in in the first chapter of John. Please, Richard, help me. Right there, Richard. That other scripture is for Hebrews 3:7. Well, that's okay. It's good. You did something great. Because that's what the point is, you know. When God comes and introduces his son, it was when God himself dressed himself with flesh, making himself subject to limitation in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is that the Trinity is something that the Hebrew people had never been able to understand. You know, it's not that we have a God with three heads. That would be a monster, is that right? No, we have a God that he knows what he had to do for the redemption of his creation. So he has made himself of a nature of three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is that right? You know, if we don't understand that, because our human mind is limited to understand how three can be one. You know, there's even, and this is a bad joke, but I'm going to make it. Remember that oil that it was called three in one? To those of you that are old, the new generation knows WD-40, you know. But it was an oil that you can have capacities of a lubricant, a rust inhibitor, and also a other properties into it. Because the properties of God has to be that in order that he can do the redemption of humanity, is that he had to become flesh. It happens that that's where the Son is introduced, and then it's the Holy Spirit, the one that has speak about this truth, because what happens is that we will not understand the nature of God unless God himself reveals to us. We cannot come to the Father unless the Son reveals him to us. But we cannot come to the Son unless the Father brought us to him. Is that right? And we cannot come to that relationship with God unless the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin so we can repent and make the choice to believe. Look how good is God that enclosed everything that he was required by the law in one term, in faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. Even God speaking, he says that Abraham believed and it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. See, the righteousness of God is Christ. And when we are in Christ, then we are the righteousness of God in Christ because we have come to know him. We have received him. But many people know about Christ. You ask people today, and many might think that they are even Christians because they believe in Christ, but they believe superficially in the understanding that, yeah, I know about Christ. No, no, no. The fact is, do you know Christ on a personal basis? I'm not talking about a God in the distance in heaven. I'm talking about a God that, remember when people used to cite Jeremiah 33:3. And they say that it was the telephone to God. I don't have to telephone God. I don't need that. I don't need to have that technology. I speak to him every day. You know. And I speak to him every day. And I don't have to go and looking. Even that I know that the Father is in heaven and the throne and Jesus Christ is there. You know what? He's in my heart too. I can speak to him daily. I can come in confidence. I can come to the throne of God knowing that Christ intercedes for me. And what happens is that then I can ask and I will receive it by asking his name, believing. The problem with the world is unbelief. This story about Christ is difficult to believe. When I was an atheist, one of the things that I didn't understand about Christianity, of course, when you're an atheist, you're a fool, you know. I was, I think, a little farther than a fool. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is that God made it so easy that we cannot accept it. Oh, you're telling me that after you have done all these things, if you believe by faith in Christ, your sins are going to be forgiven? Guess what? That's how it is. You know, he made it easy for us because he's the one that is reaching out to us. He's the one that wants this relationship with us. He's the one that is calling us. He's not waiting for us to respond. He comes to us. So come to the play, that introductory part. And by the way, I will never even dare to do that. But in the play, I'm going to be God. I'm going to get my... Oh, Lord, I'm glad that you are God. You know? One of the things that happens in the history of God's relationship with man is that God is the one that has initiated that relationship. You see, many of us can go into the confusion and thinking, like at one time I was, you know, as a new believer, I thought that there was something special in me for God to come and include me in his plan. Oh, goodness sake, I was so far from the truth. There was nothing good in me or anything that God needs from me, that he just gave me his salvation because he loved me just the way I was. Even though I was an enemy of Christ, it happens that God has mercy. And when he showed that mercy, I still remember when Juan Pacheco, the evangelist, comes and says, you know, that the man that was the happiest man at that time, at the time of Jesus Christ's condemnation to the cross, was Barabbas, because the cross that was prepared for him, Barabbas took. See, the Bible is clear in Romans 3:23, and it says that for all have sinned and they're destitute of the glory of God. Is that right? Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. I'm glad that it didn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what it changes all. I didn't find Christ. I didn't find God. He found me. I was the one that was lost. You know. Amen? Amen. In the book of Hebrews, it's very interesting because today, there's people that they are just discussing little items like, what is the day of rest really? What is the Sabbath? There's people that are still disputing that. We are ignorant of really what the ampleness of the love of God is to come and include us in a salvation that we cannot obtain by our works. You know, one of the things that I pray for the nation of Israel. Because I know that once they receive the Messiah, that is Jesus Christ, then they're going to be changed. But I tell you, not everybody that says that he's a Jew is a Jew. You know that the true Jew is the one that comes and receives the message of God and doesn't go into the rebellion as in the time of the past. Read the other scripture in Hebrews now.
Thank you.
Interesting, that scripture. God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested from his work. The important thing is that he rested from his work. And you say, well, how can it be? Because, you know, man didn't just go and did as God. As a matter of fact, it looked like even his rest was interrupted by sin. But the thing is that it didn't take God by surprise. When man sinned, God didn't go, oh, man, I didn't think about that one. When man sinned, it happens that God already has designed a perfect plan. And it was a plan of redemption through his son, the one that was going to come and being in the likeness of God, like in Philippians 2:5 says, it happens that he didn't just cling on to that, but he disposed himself of his glory and he became flesh. What is that he read in John? In John he read just a while ago that, and he became flesh. I love the introduction of the play, but I'm not going to say it because you had to come to hear it. When God really saw that his creation was going to make the wrong choice, he could have stopped them from making it, don't you think? I'm glad that God doesn't operate in the what if. We do. We do. Well, what if I have not done this decision? Because God doesn't have to think about like us and calculate what it's going to cost us. Do you understand what I'm going to? He knew exactly what he had to do. And even that he knows that he has to put the punishment of our sin on his son, he didn't stop. Because he knew that that's what it was going to take for you and me to come and have a relationship with him. Our salvation was, you know, many people think about salvation. You know, there's some things that we do as humans. And we do it on Christmas time. We exchange gifts. Is that right? Okay, let's see that. And I have this experience, you know, with my son. I give him a gift thinking that he was going to appreciate the gift. Because probably he was going to like it. He didn't. You know. There's sometimes things that you don't buy because you think that, oh, I'm not going to spend that much money on that. But if somebody comes and give you that gift that is expensive to you to buy, but they do it out of the willingness, you feel very happy because somebody else thought about you, you know, and give you a gift of something that you would not do for yourself. Okay, let's see this. This is where I'm going. If the price of the gift is so high that you cannot pay and it's given to you, you didn't have to make an effort for it. Is that right? So what you do because of the price being so high is that you had to value it. Salvation is free to us, but it's cost God the most important thing in heaven, that is Jesus Christ. And because of that, then we had to value it. How do we value it? Well, it happens that I cannot be me no more. Oh, hold on. If I value the gift, I will just cherish it. I will not risk to damage it. Is that right? And we were talking about unbelief, as Richard read, about the Hebrew people, that God has to let them walk for 40 years in the desert. Why? Because they hardened their heart in unbelief. They could not believe that God was good and that he will provide everything for them. Well, guess what? Today is the same. We, as the Hebrew children, sometimes we cannot believe that this is so easy, that we harden our hearts and we don't come to Christ. For a year and a half, Armando Carlos spoke the gospel to me. I thought the guy was a masochist. I mistreated him. But I didn't see that was the love of God pursuing me. Constantly making a way for me to come to him. To understand that this God that loved me so much, loved me because he wants to, not because he has to. In the Greek mythology, it said that the Greek believed that Zeus needed the love of his people, of the people that he created. God doesn't need our love. He just wants it. He wants you to, you and me, to make the right choice of giving the glory that it belongs to him. I'm a zealot about Christ. When somebody starts just putting or denying the divinity of Christ or making it lesser, the cross that he bears, lesser than what it is, I get infuriated. I'm glad that it happens that I'm not God. I'm going to be in the play, but that's only in the play, okay? And I'm glad that many people are not God, because there's many people that in the wrath would immediately and bolts of lightning here and there. Boom, that's gone. Boom, that's gone, you know. I'm glad that God is God. And that his love is proven. It's being made real when Christ took the cross for us. If the wages of sin is death, why did Christ have to die? He didn't commit no sin, did he? You know there are evangelicals today that they believe that Jesus Christ sinned? I don't know what Jesus they're talking about, but he's not the one in the Bible. He's not my Jesus, the one that redeemed me. It's not the Jesus that redeemed you, because that one is perfect. He's sinless. He was without blemish. The Lamb of God, that it was what? Slaughter before the foundation of the world. I'm so glad that I have so much help here. Because one of the things that happens is that in order that God could have a rest for people, what did Jesus say about the Sabbath? I'm going to include this because it happens that it's very important to me. There's many people that are now are preaching that the symbol or the mark of the Antichrist is the people that worship on Sunday. Hold on. Oh, we're lost, guys. I'm glad that it's not that way. The people that interpret the scripture wrong and they start making teachings that it deviate from the importance of Christ, the freedom that is in him. Jesus Christ says that the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath. Is that right? Because you know where is the rest of God? It's in the message of grace. Because when God came and he gave the law to Moses, it wasn't the regulations of the do's and don'ts. Is that right? But all of a sudden, Christ came. Everything changed. It's a new covenant. Is that right? And we cannot be rebellious against the message of the new covenant. Because who was the one that died? Jesus Christ. Is that right? Who's the one that can condemn? Jesus Christ. Not even the law can condemn us. Because Jesus Christ paid the price. See, he didn't came to go and abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And in him, we are just accepted to God because it's in him that the law is fulfilled. And this is what happens about the Sabbath. There's people that are hung up onto this. They're teaching the wrong things and all that. I have to mention this because you know that we, in the new technology, we go a lot of YouTubes and U tires. YouTube's only. But, you know, what happens is that we go there and then we got all kind of information. Well, guess what? you, in the internet, you cannot find nothing that is a lie. Is that right? Or is it? That's right. And it happens that we have to find where is the source of our information. Let me tell you, my theology cannot come from a commentary book. My theology cannot come from a study of a man that is given an interpretation of what he understands. My theology had to come from the full counsel of the Word of God. Because when I think that I know something, God shows me that I am very ignorant of His truth, and He just wakes me up. And He said, remember in the old days there was a commercial for Aqua Velva? That He comes and slaps the guy a couple of times in the face. And that's what the Lord does to me, you know. He put that Aqua Velva on me and He says, wake up, son. Because I want to show you that it's my word what is really the foundation ought to be. We cannot move to the right or to the left. You know, because we want to be sometimes, I tell you, and I know because I have practiced this. We love our children with pity. We don't want them to experience hardship. Well, guess why the millennial generation is not growing? Because we are not letting them to make mistakes so they can learn to make good or bad choice. When you make a bad choice and you make a mistake and it hurts, oh, I'm not going to do that again. That one hurt. Is that right? And that also with God. The rest of God, it was when Christ appeared into the scene. And the rest of God, it was for them, for us, for His creation, to believe in the message of the truth. And the message of the truth is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the world. He is God in the flesh. And if you think, or any religious person, want to bring you another explanation different of that one and make Jesus lesser of what He is, guess what? Remember that movie? I don't remember who the artist was. She was an actress. And she said, I think it was and I'm not trying to allude to Betty here, but remember she got big eyes. Betty Davis, yeah. And then she says, watch out because we're going into a bumpy road or something like that, bumpy flight or something. Well, guess what? What happens is that every time that anybody comes with a different idea of what that of Christ being the truth and the only way to heaven, it happens that they are just taking away from the sacrifice that was perfect for the redemption of humanity. You know that I hear new songs, and I'm very critical. I tell you, I'm very critical, so you watch out, because I'm just like, you know? And I'm like this. But see, the problem is that when I go like this, there's three fingers pointing at me, and one pointing up to heaven like saying, check out yourself, boy, first. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is that I'm so critical because I think that we have to be very careful on how we approach God. And I love contemporary music. Don't take me wrong. There's the best, many of the best songs that explain the gospel clearly are in contemporary music. Okay? And I'm very critical about certain definitions that are there. There's one song that I like. But there's one little word that I will just change. And he's talking about the reckless love of God. Hold on, I don't think that God is reckless. The perfect love of God. I will change it for the perfect love of God. Because the love of God is intentional. He didn't do this like by accident. You know, sometimes we can do things by accident. Things that we don't mean to do. But everything that God does, He does it intentionally, purposely, because He's doing it what is right. See, in the time of the rebellion, they are the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. There's a contemporary song about that, and I love it. And he says, Lord, now that you took me out of Egypt, take Egypt out of me. Because, see, we as a sinner, we want to go back there. But that's not what God wants. That's what this flesh wants. You know what this flesh likes? Adultery, fornication. She likes to break the law of God. It cannot hold unto the law of God. That's the reason that we had to come to Christ. Because it happens that then this nature of this flesh is not going to be our master anymore. We cannot be enslaved to sin after we come to Christ. After we come to Christ, now the Lord has empowered us by one of the three persons of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. What is the name of that guy? The Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit resides in me, what is that he's going to produce in me? Holiness. He's going to separate me from who I was. I don't have to be there anymore. I am an ex-atheist. If you were an alcoholic, now you're an ex-alcoholic. Why? Because you're a new creature in whom? In Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Is that right? What it says, you know, therefore, is anybody is in who? In Christ. See, the center of everything that God has done, even since the creation, it was that Christ had to be the center of everything. Whenever you can, because I'm going to close with this, because if not, you know that I can get kind of a long-winded, you know. I'm like that preacher that was preaching in the church, you know, and he was inviting people in the neighborhood, and it was in a countryside, and he didn't have no members of the church. So he came across a farmer, and he invited, and the farmer came and sit down in the front to listen to the preacher. And all of a sudden, the preacher started preaching the message, you know, and all that, and he goes extended like I do. And the times go by, and the farmer was there patiently listening to the preacher. And he finished the message and all that, and it comes the time to say bye and best regards to the farmer so they can just part ways. And he says to the farmer, the preacher comes and says, what do you think about the message? He says, well, preacher, I'm going to tell you this. I'm a farmer. I know about cows and all that, you know, and I don't know anything about preaching. But I tell you, I don't go and give the whole bay of hay to the cows at once, you know. So it happens that we have time to really learn these things. But as you go home and all that stuff, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1, it says, God has spoken in sundry times to our fathers through the prophets. Now he has spoken to us through his Son. And because Jesus Christ came and gave us the true message of who God is, it happens that we, by belief, by faith, we have come to the rest of God, to the Sabbath of God, where we have rest from all our works, because it's by grace that we are saved. God bless.